Thank you for downloading More or Less, a weekly excursion into the world of numbers. The programme is presented by Tim Harford, the Financial Times undercover economist, and is a BBC Radio 4 and the Open University co-production.
Hello, and welcome to the last in the current series of More or Less, the programme that takes a little bit of the numb out of the numbers in daily life. This week, we'll have a glass of stout as we discover how a master brewer revolutionised statistics and how his legacy is being ignored by modern researchers. We like to relax here at More or Less, and I have here a pint of stout in front of me. You may be wondering what stout has to do with statistics, and the person who's going to explain this to us is Steve Ziliak. He's a professor of economics at Roosevelt University. He's speaking to us down the line from Chicago, and he's the co-author of The Cult of Statistical Significance. Steve, could you start by explaining what is statistical significance?
Statistical significance is a way of separating random from real effects. Let's say that you're looking at barley farmers in England. You have 12 farmers who are running an experiment on a particular kind of barley. The difference is some of the barley is grown with fertilizer, some of the barley is grown with no fertilizer. Supposing the fertilized barley yields more, does that mean that fertilizer causes higher barley yields? Or is it possible, and in fact it is possible, that the higher yield for the fertilized barley simply occurred by chance? Statistical significance gives one a mathematical tool for saying exactly how much that effect could have happened by chance.
I'm sure you didn't choose the barley example by chance, because the man who produced the most commonly used test of statistical significance was, in fact, a brewer, William Seeley Gossett. Tell us about him.
William Seeley Gossett was an experimental scientist, chemist, and most importantly, perhaps, brewer of Guinness beer. He studied at Oxford chemistry and maths and graduated in 1899. He's recruited by Guinness in 1899 as an apprentice brewer. And around that time, they had the opportunity to become the largest for-profit brewery in the world, and it was an opportunity that came true for Guinness. In order to pull this off, they needed experimental scientists who could help them figure out from small samples of barley, malt, hops, water, and so forth, how to brew the best beer and the most stable product at the lowest cost. And William Seeley Gossett was a person that they turned to.
Under his pseudonym, Student, William Seeley Gossett developed the student's t-test, still the standard test for the statistical significance of small samples. He was mentor to Ronald Fisher, perhaps the most famous statistician of the 20th century. Fisher introduced the idea of a sharp line for statistical significance at the 5% level. That is, if a result might have emerged purely by chance more than 5% of the time, then that result should be ignored completely as statistically insignificant. And that's the way things are still done today. But is that the way William Seeley Gossett did his statistics?
No, quite the contrary. William Seeley Gossett would not approve of about 95% of the tests that go under his name, and he did not help Guinness grow and improve by following such a rule. Gossett's hops regressions, Gossett's barley regressions, Gossett's regression analyses, where he's comparing, you know, a dependent variable with a host of independent variables on Guinness beer, are filled with statistically insignificant results by Fisher's standards. And yet Gossett did not disregard them, to say the least. He used that very valuable information to select his beer's ingredients and so forth.
Now, let me defend Fisher for a moment. Don't we need some kind of sharp defining line, if only to keep unscrupulous researchers, you know, on a tight leash? So often, or more or less, we see research that often not done by scientists but done by PR agencies or spun by governments, and the research just isn't statistically significant. Isn't it helpful to have a bright line where you just go, look, beyond this, we don't have to take any notice of your results. We don't have to take them seriously.
Statistical significance at any level doesn't actually tell you the thing that you most care about. The thing that you care about is, for example, Let's say that you're trying to help your mom lose weight. If she asks you for help, she says she wants to take a diet pill. You go online and you find two pills. These pills are identical in price and in side effects, but they differ in the amount of weight loss they promise. One pill will take off 20 pounds on average, but there's variance associated with it at plus or minus 10. So it takes off 20 pounds for mom, but with some uncertainty. It may take off only 10 pounds. It may take off as much as 30. The other pill, again, same price, same side effects, takes off 5 pounds on average, but it's much more certain in its result, meaning that it will only vary by a half pound on either side. May take 4.5 pounds off mom, may take 5.5 pounds off. Now, which pill do you choose for mom? Do you choose pill oomph, which is the one that takes off 20 pounds plus or minus 10, or pill precision, which takes off 5 pounds plus or minus a half pound? What do you think 90% of economists, epidemiologists, psychologists, medical researchers, government employees, and so forth, what do you think they choose?
Well, go on.
They choose pill precision. You know why?
Because it's statistically significant.
Yes.
even though it packs a lot less oomph. And this is something that William Seeley Gossett, the head brewer of Guinness, knew very well. Well, Steve Ziliak, I have my Guinness in front of me. I'll let you go and get one of yours. Thank you very much for joining us.
And thank you so much.
Cheers. Professor Steve Ziliak, co-author of The Cult of Statistical Significance. You're listening to More or Less with me, Tim Harford.
More or Less is presented by Tim Harford, the Financial Times undercover economist, and is produced by Innes Bowen in association with the Open University. Thank you for listening.